Hello, my friends. It is not the Eastern Lariat, as today we're missing the Eastern part of the equation. So no previews, no reviews, no news, no notes. Actually, you're going to get all that stuff. I just wanted to do a different intro today. I'm your host, the sky blue, hot-blooded young man, podcast tuxedo mask, Mr. Victory Through Guts, Dylan Harris. Sadly, my regular co-host Strigga isn't with us today. You probably saw him say this on Twitter or Facebook, but just to catch you up and quickly reiterate, he was so pissed about Germany's performance in the World Cup, he secluded himself. He's in his home, he's in his room, he's drowning his sorrows. Right now, he told me, did not want to be around me at all, but that's okay. I told him it's fine. I'll handle it. I got you back. Don't worry. Actually, the real reason is a lot more noble, if you think about it, because he's off on a class trip with his students. He's a teacher, obviously. We've talked about it a bunch of times on the show. If you're a new listener, he's a very smart guy. You can't knock him for it. He had to take care of the kids, so he's doing a lot of great work, and he's dealt with some crazy situations for a teacher, handled them very gracefully. So hopefully he has a great time, and the kids do too. So with that said, it's the first time I've done a solo show in 2 years. You know, last time I did it was G1 2016. It's always those pesky G1s that gets us, and that feels like a lifetime ago, right? 2 years ago. Where were you at 2 years ago, right? And for me, it's funny because the more things change, the more things stay the same, kind of, because it's funny how these solo shows always coincide with some kind of crossroads in my life. My on-again, off-again, long-time girl coming back, wrestling stuff, getting back into that. You guys have gone through some crazy stuff too, but it's funny how whenever I host a solo Eastern Lariat, or just the Lariat, as it is today, it's always a harbinger of things to come. But I've got a big show for you guys anyway, a bit of a G1 sandwich. You know, every G1 competitor, I feel like it would be kind of redundant to go over every single match or start, you know, state my predictions or anything like that in terms of specific matches. But for the tournament, I thought it'd be a good idea to go over the guys. I'll give my rankings of them. I have some background info from last year, too, as I rated every match they had in last year's G1, where they rated in the after the final ended and where they rated overall. I'll give you my predictions, some final scenarios throughout, and then I'll give you my official prediction. Going on the record, my friends. And I'll wrap it up with some Cap Palace talk. I might shout out some other matches too, because we haven't had a show in a little while. We haven't been able to get to some things lately in some other companies besides just New Japan. So I have a little bit of some tidbits to kind of tide you over between the Cow Palace and the first G1 day. You've got about 10 days or so between the Cow Palace and the first G1, maybe a little bit later, closer to 2 weeks. But never fear, after the Cow Palace show, Strigga will be back. He's told me himself. So we'll still get to hear his takes on G1, what he thinks. That said, let's chop, chop, chop. Before we get on to G1, though, I do want to say one thing real quick. I want to give a huge rest in peace to Big Van Vader, a huge favorite of mine, not just in pro res, but also in America with WCW, WWF. Even I know a lot of people, obviously in hindsight, his WWF run did not go as well as you wanted. But to me, he was a childhood favorite of mine when I was just 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old when I first saw him. This guy, he had such a huge presence. I love the mask. I love his style. I'll never forget one of my all-time favorite promos and favorite tag teams as well, which also has a tie into Japan wrestling. So I just wanted to give that out real quick, was when he did team up with The Patriot, who was my favorite wrestler during the feud with Bret Hart and the Canadians. I'll never forget how, in his Vader tone of voice, I think this was at Bad Blood this happened, because it was the flag match they had with Bret Hart and Davey Boy Smith. Vader said, "Best there is, best there was, best there ever will be. What a bunch of bullshit!" I just thought it was a great promo that made me laugh. I've watched it a million times. And obviously his matches were spectacular. Wherever he went, Noah, All Japan, UWFI, WWF. WWF, the matches weren't that great, though I really think that tag match is underrated, the flag match, actually, in all seriousness. But WCW had amazing runs there. He was a world champion in Europe, in CWA and everything. Otto Wans, promotion. So this guy did a lot in wrestling, and I wanted to give him a quick tribute, what he meant to me. My dad, we've had a rocky relationship in our lives, but I remember as a kid, he'd always say, Big Van Vader. And I was like, to me, he was just Vader, because obviously I was watching WWF at the time. But this guy, he had a huge run in him. Did a lot of great things in wrestling. Even recently, he got a lot of publicity for stunts with Will Ospreay on Twitter. Had a run on WWF. Whenever he'd pop up on Raw every now and then, maybe even TNA sometimes. But even Boy Meets World. I said this on Twitter. He was a very, very fun character on Boy Meets World, one of my favorite episodes of that show. So rest in peace, Vader. Sad to see you go, and he will be missed in the world of wrestling and in the world of life. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get to it. Let's get to the 28th version of the G1 Climax. As I said, I'll be going over each man in each block and talk about their tournament and what I expect of them, both in terms of in-ring performance as well as the overall standing, so to speak. So let's run it down from the last day on. We'll start with Block A. I think it's only right to go there first. And at the end of all this, I'll tell you my official prediction. I may throw in some scenarios, but I really think, realistically, there's only, I'd say, three guys in each block that have a realistic shot of winning. And then there's a fourth or a fifth that could be a dark horse type of candidate. When it comes to winning their block, I think really only two or three have a shot to win the tournament. So, with that said, let's start off at the bottom match of the G1 blocks on the last day. And let's go ahead and start off with a new competitor to the tournament. Somebody that I don't have any data for last year, obviously. He was not in the G1. And he's still a very young wrestler in his career. Somebody who I've not been the biggest fan of, if you are a longtime listener to Eastern Lariat. This guy, Hangman Page, member of the Bullet Club. You know, a lot of people have pointed to Hangman Adam Page. And in terms of New Japan, I just haven't seen any matches of his that have made me stand, you know, made me feel like that I was ever wrong about him and my negative comments towards him. He's had some decent matches in Ring of Honor. His best one was probably against Jay Briscoe. He had a pretty good match against Kota Ibushi. That was one of his best straight matches that I've seen against Ibushi earlier this year, in fact. So he has shown signs that he can not be as bad. He did have that really bad match with Switchblade Jay White at LA earlier this year, too, in March. So he's had his ups and downs, basically. And in the G1, he's going to get a chance to really show what he can do here. And it's interesting, when it comes to Ring of Honor, this is the guy that they sent. This seems to be one of the main guys they're backing. What they believe is one of their best talents, much like Flip Gordon in the Best of the Super Juniors. So they're sending the guys that they think have the most upside for the company. So not surprising that he was in. I think 18 people were virtual locks when it came to this tournament beforehand. I thought for sure they would be in. I thought Switchblade would be in as one of the extras. I was thinking they might go with Sekimoto because he was in the Lionsgate block or Lionsgate show earlier this year. So I was wondering if maybe they had something in plan for that. I was very surprised about someone in Block B that stole the show when it came to the surprises going into the G1. Hangman Page, though, I'm not a fan of his work so far. He's still not that experienced. He's still finding his way a little bit when it comes to the in-ring side of things. Character-wise, he's got a lot of popularity when it comes to the Bullet Club, when it comes to being the Elite. So I'm not surprised at all that they would pick him to come over, even if it was up to New Japan. He's got a lot of, you know, a lot of popularity on that end. And I think he's going to have a lot of fan support in the West, particularly in America. In-ring-wise, I'm going to have an open mind to him. You know, I know I've been negative on him in the past, but I want to have an open mind because this is a whole new level, a whole new opportunity to really have some standout matches. But this is it for him, man. He has to take a hold of the brass ring, so to speak, here, because if he shows out here, this could lead to a lot more opportunities for him in New Japan, and as well as the Ring of Honor. It'll give them something to hang their hat on. In terms of the actual record that he'll have, the wins and the losses, I think he'll get at least one big win because of the relationship between Ring of Honor and New Japan. New Japan's been a bit more respectful lately and a bit more of a team player, so to speak. I think they're going to give him a big win over somebody. I don't know who that is, you know, specifically when it comes to that. I think he's going to get a win over somebody pretty big. I don't think it's impossible he doesn't beat Tanahashi. You know, he could be one of Tanahashi's few losses, and that would set up a rematch. Or some, you know, somebody maybe they want to come over to Ring of Honor. He could beat and really get a chance to shine out. I also think he could beat Switchblade as well. That's a very particular loss that he could have because they would avenge the earlier loss earlier this year. That's what you have to look at sometimes at G1, especially in Block B, I'll get to. But if you look at the matches they've had in the years, earlier in the year, study the results of those and go the opposite of the first match because it's a good time to get their win back when it comes to that. That said, though, Switchblade, he's at the bottom of the match in the A block last show. Not surprising. I don't think he has any chance to win or make any noise at that level, but I do think he'll get a big win there. His opponent on the last show is someone that's often at the bottom in the G1, Yoshihashi, the loose one himself. In-ring-wise, he is returning from last year where he had a solid year. Rock solid, actually. Actually, when it came to the star rating average, I had him exactly at 3.5 stars, 3.5 out of 5, and the PTR was 3.58, which is my algorithm for grading wrestlers in tournaments and their complete tournament, because the main thing, the main difference is between that and just averaging star ratings, which I think is an interesting study, so to speak, of that, but my problem with that is star ratings, if you just grab them and add them up, let's just say a 3.5-star match against, say, Togi Makabe counts the same as a 3.5-star match against Kota Ibushi. And I don't really like that, so I try to work some things out to help be more of a true study of the what they did in the tournament and what they added. And the thing is, in that last year, he had 2 4-star matches. I really liked the match against Goto as well. Actually, it was Ishii. The Goto match was decent, but not that great. The Ishii match and the Nagata match were my two favorites for Yoshihashi. But the problem is, and I think it's going to be the same story this year, even in my ratings, he had nobody's best match, nobody's worst match, a couple of 4-star matches, a couple of great matches, and I think that's really going to be similar to what he does here. No matches under 3 stars, though, and I think he got the best out of someone like a Bad Luck Fale. He really showed out against him. They had a really interesting undercard match, and that's a match you should look for this year too, because I think he's going to pull out all the stops. His gimmick really works well against Fale. There's a lot of controversy about him being in the tournament at all when the blocks were announced and when the competitors were announced, but to me it was a no-brainer. If you look at his run, he's gotten spotlight singles matches. Look at the one against Naito and the one against Kota Ibushi in the New Japan Cup, which was a absolutely brilliant match, better than a lot of people's best matches. So to me, it just felt like a lot of people on Twitter were being lazy and not looking at things the right way. I will admit, though, the problem with him isn't wrestling, but the booking behind him is just, it feels like he's just going nowhere. They never give him big wins. They never book him in any kind of meaningful way. And it's a shame because I think he's got a lot of talent. I love his gimmick. 2 years ago, he was actually my MVP of the entire tournament in 2016. And it came to the booking and his character and the fan support he had. But also his wrestling was really strong. And the fans wanted to believe in him. And I think that's something that's missing right now. If he could get a big win early on, if I were booking G1, I would give him an upset win over somebody big to make the fans believe in him that he has turned a corner and they can get behind him again, because I think he's naturally charismatic in a weird way, a way that he looks kind of lazy. You look at his look, everybody knows his look sucks. Nobody's going to confuse him with Okada, but I think it helps his gimmick almost as a do-it-yourself kind of wrestler when it comes to his gear, his merchandise. It's not main event caliber, but I think that it's right for him to look that way. You know, he shouldn't look like a superstar, in my opinion, because it wouldn't fit his style, his gimmick, or who he is, ultimately. That said, I think that, again, it's possible Tanahashi could lose to him. They had a little bit of a mini feud earlier in the year when you look at it. They never kind of blew that off. So if he was to get a big win, I could see him facing Tanahashi and getting an upset. Besides that, though, I don't expect big things of him when it comes to the wins and the losses. He's about 4-6 points, maybe 8 if they do rally behind him a little bit more. But I think 4-6 is probably closer to him and where he'll be. Up next is the second to last match on the card, or the second to first match technically when it comes to the G1 matches at Budokan Hall, is Big Mike Elgin. He's in the fourth match out of 5 here. He's someone that, he's coming off a spectacular match, I thought, with Hiroki Goto for the NEVER title. I thought it was just fantastic what they did. Not just the heavy hitting aspect of it, which everyone kind of points to when it comes to the NEVER title, but I thought both men really worked well, and they showed that they had a lot of tricks up their sleeve, so to speak. Striga likes to criticize Goto for being repetitive, but to me, not just Goto, but Elgin specifically, you look at the moves he's added to his moveset, it's almost like he's kind of adding a whole different element in and of himself, even though he wrestled last year. And his tournament last year was not spectacular by any means. Even though he wasn't my MVP 2 years ago, I thought he had the best wrestling of anyone. I didn't grade them out, but to me, he had the best wrestling of anybody in 2016. Last year, I ranked him 14th. Yoshihashi was 12th, by the way, in PTR, and Elgin was 14th. He only had one 4-star match to me, and it's nothing against Elgin. It's just the block wasn't that strong overall last year. If you look at my rankings from last year, a lot of the top 10 was in block A, so to speak. So Elgin, he didn't have the most spectacular of tournaments, but he was solid, 3.31 rating. I really loved his match with Okada. I thought that was his best match, and I'll go over that too. Yoshihashi, the Nagata match, was his best match. I'll try and give you each man's best match from last year. So that's something maybe, if you don't want to check out the other promotions I say later on, you can kind of take a look back at last year's and get your mind refreshed, so to speak, on what these guys could do. So the Okada match was my favorite. A lot of people would point to the Kenny Omega match, but I thought they went a little too far, a little too Omega-y, so to speak. But Elgin, think he's going to be called to be, if you look at Block A, he's going to be called upon to be one of the workhorses of the group and kind of the building blocks when it comes to having a good match, working hard. He's even brought out the Japanese Ocean Cyclone Suplex, which is a great move. I've always wondered why nobody else has done that, really, more besides Toyota, which is obviously her move that she innovated. King from Tekken also uses that. I used that in my tournament appearance in April, if you remember that storyline. Elgin, though, I think he's going to try to have good matches with everyone. I don't anticipate any match of the year candidates, even though that Goto match was on its way until that stupid Taichi interference that was pointless in that match. But I think Elgin, he's going to have some solid matches with everybody. Wins and losses will not be super strong, I would say. I could see him, again, all of these guys really in the first four matches are 4-8 caliber. And really the first three, I would say, besides one person who I think could go higher. I think they're all within 4-8 points. And, you know, just take your pick on who beats who. Because he could lose to anybody, but he could get a big win here and there. I don't foresee it, though, other than maybe if Jay White is still the U.S. champion by here, I could see him pinning him to challenge for a title shot at a later date. Besides that, though, no chance of winning the block or making any noise on that level. His opponent on the last night is Togi Makabe, the runaway King Kong. He's someone that I didn't like his tournament last year all that much. I only had him at 2.7 when it comes to PTR. That's even less than a star rating average, which is never a good sign. If you look at his matches last year, I thought he had Zack Sabre Jr.'s, Yoshihashi's, Nagata's, and Tanahashi's worst matches. So that's four people he had their worst matches up in the block. So that really took him down. One match I thought was really bad, and that was Fale versus Makabe from last year. That was his worst match. His best match, to me, was against Hiroki Goto. Both him and Ishii had good matches in the last tournament, as well as Suzuki, who we'll talk about in a second, earlier this year. Now, those three were some of Makabe's best matches of the last couple of years, I would say. And he's got good opponents that he works decently with. I think he'll be over in terms of the popularity that he has in Japan. It's been said by a lot of people, but he is on TV there. He's noted for his love of desserts, so to speak, so he's going to have some popularity. I don't think he'll make that much noise, though. In the past, he's had a couple of years where he was the guy that got off to that hot start and then lost all his matches at the end. But overall, I think about 4 to 8 points again for him. Very boring analysis on my part for the first four guys, because to me, 4 to 8 points is them all the way. Someone like Yoshihashi, maybe he could get to a hot start and then lose all his matches, or Makabe or Elgin, as we've seen in the past, but I just don't think there's much hope for any of them in terms of being relevant at the end of the tournament. Next match, we have the aforementioned Bad Luck Fale. Now, his tournament I definitely did not like last year, because he's had a couple of real dud kind of matches versus Makabe versus Naito. Fale actually rated a slightly lower than Makabe, had him 2.68. So they were both kind of similar, but I thought Fale was slightly worse. He had Makabe, Naito's, Ibushi's, and Ishii's worst matches of the tournament. And two terrible ones from Naito and Makabe. His best match, to me, when you look at it, had to be the match at the end versus Yuji Nagata. If you want to go back and look at Bad Luck Fale, that's the match you want to go to. It's a really emotional moment and really cool moment for Fale, who's had a huge history with Nagata. Me and Striga both were early adopters of Fale when it comes to him and what he brings to the table in the ring. Excuse me. I've always thought that he plays his role really well, and it's kind of underrated. He kind of got a bad rap early on, but I think he's gotten worse and worse, to be honest with you. And if you look at his 2018, he's basically done nothing of note at all. He hasn't been promoted in any way, and even his match versus Tanahashi wasn't that great, and he's always the one that's relied upon to really make things work. Points-wise, I think it's always said that he's always protected when it comes to the booking of G1 due to his size. Him, to me, is someone more this year, is someone more that can beat anyone, but also could lose to anyone. He could lose to Yoshihashi. He could lose to Hangman Page. He could also beat Okada, which I think is very possible if you look at how the brackets and the shows play out. So Fale, I think he's going to have an even keel record. I think, again, he's got a better chance to really break out, but I think 8 points is his kind of median, maybe 10, maybe 6, if depending on how they feel about him. But not someone I expect to be in play when it comes to winning the block or anything like that. Just do not think he has a shot, and don't think it would make any sense for him to win. Although, in years past, when they have went to the main events with him, his shows did pretty well at the box office. He actually had a little bit of drawing power. He does good work with the Australian, New Zealand area of the world, getting new guys in like Hanare and everything. So he's got a comfy spot in New Japan. He's someone that's probably just having a good time and doing his old dojo thing. I think he's totally happy where he's at. I don't think there's anything that leads me to believe he'll be in line for any kind of win. His opponent, Minoru Suzuki. And last year, the worst keeps getting worse, because Suzuki was one of my least favorite performers last year. It was almost infamous how much I hated his entire 2017. The Suzuki Goon shtick was just too way, way overplayed and not entertaining, and made me feel stupid for watching it. And that's what I hate most about wrestling, is when I watch wrestling that makes me feel like an idiot for even wasting my time on it. And that's what all of his matches did. And he wrestled some of my favorite guys. Yoshihashi, Goto had some awful matches between them all. But somehow or another, that switch got flipped in 2018. It started with the Goto match, which I think played a big role in everything, at the Tokyo Dome. Spectacular match. That's in my top 10 for the year. That, to me, is my New Japan match of the year right now, I think. Actually, now to think about it, I would probably go with Ishimori and Hiromu, but that would be my number two, I would say. Up until that point, that was my match of the year in New Japan. Goto and Suzuki had a phenomenal match, and the hits just kept coming for Suzuki. You look at his Tanahashi match, he had that really underrated Makabe match. The tag matches he was doing great work in and really standing out. That Naito match was terrible. That was one of the worst main events we've seen, unfortunately, when it comes to New Japan in a while. Probably since that Okada match he had, which totally sucked as well. So if he's in with the wrong opponent, even now he could still have some stinkers. But I think, to me, he's one of the most interesting people from an in-ring standpoint. When it comes to him, last year he had that one great match versus Okada, where he showed what he could do. He had 5 matches on ranked 2 stars or less. That's really bad. But the Okada match was awesome and saved him. Really, when you look at it, that was just way better than their February match. And I expect him to really rise up the ranks. He won't be 19th overall in my rankings again this year. I guarantee you that. He's going to do some really good stuff. He's a sleeper top 5 candidate, in my opinion, if he really goes all out. If they say they're going to get behind him. Because he's someone, much like Goto in the other block, he's the perfect person that could advance to the finals if they want to have a match that's not necessarily big for the finals, that they don't blow. Someone that is credible but doesn't, you know, give away a money match later on. So he would be good for that. That said, I don't foresee it in this block, the way things are laid out. I think he could be alive the last day. It's definitely possible, but if that happens, Fale will beat him and knock him out. In-ring-wise, though, he's one of the most intriguing people because I think it's like he's an entirely different wrestler than he was last year. And that's what you have to keep in mind with him. So I'm very excited about Suzuki's tournament in 2018. Hard to believe, huh, after last year, right? If you listen to the show, you know I hated him a lot. But this year, I'm all on board with Suzuki. Next match, bringing it up to the top 4, and we're getting into the heavy hitters of Block A right now. Evil, somebody who's getting a push right now in the company, just coming off his tag team titles reign with Sonata, as well as a build to a potential Intercontinental title with Chris Jericho, which is a huge spot for him. Last year, I had him 11th overall, so a really good tournament, 3.59. 2 4-star matches. Had Yano, Juice's, and Sonata's best match, and one of Okada's best matches. I thought he had a great match with him. So, doing a lot of good things, Evil did. Yeah, he actually kind of liked his match with Yano. It was very short, sweet, and to the point. But it wasn't necessarily a sign of him doing great. But still, had him 11th overall, just outside the top 10, only 0.2 points out behind Kenny Omega. So he's right up there. Great tournament overall. And this year I expect him again, much like Elgin, he's going to be required to have good matches with everybody. So I expect him to be somebody who gets the best out of a Hangman Page, gets the best out of a Switchblade Jay White. He's someone that can do it all, versatile worker. I'm hoping that he doesn't go too far into the LIJ bag of tricks. You know, we don't need more Ingobernables stuff in the tournament. But Evil, he has an outside shot to win this block, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to win the tournament. That would make no sense, really. But if they go with Naito to win Block B, Evil would be a great person. Because, again, they wouldn't blow a money match now. By the time he would get to that point to where it would be a money match, this tournament win would be like an entirely different thing. I don't think it would affect that too much. So I really think Evil has an outside shot, especially if Naito is the plan to win the tournament. I think he'd be a great opponent for him and a very interesting match because the focus right now on him is on Sonata in his own block. So having Evil actually make it would be a really interesting twist to their story. So possible twist in the story there. But overall, I'd say that's still a very low chance compared to the others, especially the top guy. I'd say he's going to get some points, though. 10 points, I think, at least. He's for sure a double-digit candidate, possibly even more. Evil's going to have a strong tournament, and I think he's going to have a good tournament in-ring, too. Definitely top 10 candidate in the PTR rankings. His opponent, someone, again, who's kind of let me down, because I was all in on him when he first came in. Switchblade Jay White facing Evil on the last night. And when he came in, I predicted that he would be great in-ring, but the character wouldn't work for him. But in reality, the character work has been so strong, and the in-ring has not lived up to par. So it's really surprising how things have worked out for Jay. Maybe he's just been saving up for this G1, though. You can't count that out, because if he shows what he can do, he, to me, was the best young lion between Roppongi 3K and Finlay and him. He was the best of the four. So I was really surprised by what he did. He had one of Ospreay's best matches of his career in Ring of Honor. Was not in the tournament last year, so no real rankings for him. It's going to be interesting to see how he does. And I mentioned it on the last show. There's nobody in this tournament that has as much on the line as he does. He needs to perform strongly. I wouldn't even be surprised if they have the first 2 matches for him laid out. However it's going to go, you know. overall, because I don't think he's going to win. I really don't. I don't think he's going to win the block, especially not the tournament. But I could see them having this laid out, and if things go wrong and he blows it, like, and things drop off, they blow it again. Him and Tanahashi have another stinker like they did at the Dome. The Okada match doesn't live up to expectations or anything like that. Because let's just be real about it. He hasn't had a successful debut thus far, these first 6 months. It has not been successful, even with the character work. So he needs to have a good tournament really bad, even more than the wins and losses. Obviously, I expect him to be involved at the end of the day because he's so linked at the hip with Okada. He's very lucky that he's gotten that role and that they believed in him at the start to do that, because he's got a great storyline arc here. Everyone thinks that he's going to win against Okada at the start of the tournament, the first night, and because that is a Gato trope to have an upset. We've seen it in the past with Mar Fuji over Okada, Sonata over Tanahashi. My problem with that is, just look at that Sonata win. Everybody was talking about it because it was a great match because of Tanahashi. And by the end of the tournament, they kind of just ran out of whatever they built for him. They lost it. Just like Yoshihashi when they had a great run. They lost it with him. So if Jay beats Okada and then he just kind of becomes just a guy, has mediocre matches like Sonata did, it really wasn't worth it. And wouldn't it be better for the story to have Okada beat Switchblade and then Switchblade beat Tanahashi on the second night, because they main event the second night? That way, when it comes to the final day, he would need Okada to lose to either form a tiebreaker or just advance outright. So that could be something that we all look at. I think that would be great. Even if Okada were to win, you could have that happen. Maybe even Switchblade could run out of the last match and turn on Okada, try to help Tanahashi win. And that could lead to a huge breakup storyline with Chaos. I think that would be great. Just having Jay be involved and needing him to lose, I don't think would be as good, in my opinion. But that's what I think they're going to go with. I don't expect much creativity with Gato this year. I think Jay, he has a very small shot to win. I would say slightly more than Evil, and about the same as Tanahashi. But I don't foresee it happening. I don't think he's lived up to that. He doesn't deserve that yet, to be honest with you. That's just my opinion. And things would be better off if someone else won. Main event time of the A Block. The top two candidates, the guys main eventing Budokan Hall for A Block. Hiroshi Tanahashi last year had a phenomenal tournament. Both men did, that I'm about to talk about. 5 4-star above matches. Had my favorite Ishii match, which is a huge compliment. And that was his best match. Actually, now that I think about it, Naito. No, actually, Ibushi and Tanahashi might have been my favorite Tanahashi match, now that I think about it. But all three were close. Ibushi, Ishii, and Naito. They were all basically about the same. It just depends on which one was your favorite. You know, take your pick. It could be Ishii, it could be Ibushi. Either one, pretty much. Or Naito, even. So he had a great tournament. I think if I had to pick his worst match, it's funny. Tanahashi didn't have a whole lot of terrible matches, you know, looking throughout the tournament. But like I said, it would probably be Makabe's matches for him, against him. But this year, I expect him. He's looked bad lately, you know. There's no real way around it. Tanahashi has not had a great year in 2018. So it's hard to tell, is this the year that Father Time and injuries finally catch up to him? Or is he just saving it for G1, which is kind of what I think. I think he's going to carry this block in terms of in-ring. I wouldn't be surprised if he's my number one rated person in the block. But it's also possible this is it for him, and he wins some matches, and it's just not the same as it used to be anymore. Because, as I mentioned on the last episode, he's looked, quite frankly, Atlantis-esque, if you're a Lucha fan, which is not a compliment. Obviously, he'll be around on the last night. He'll be in play. He'll probably need some kind of shenanigans and a win over Okada to win, which I do not foresee happening, unfortunately. I think his odds of winning the block are not high, to be honest with you. And I actually think Jay costing Okada just to let Tanahashi win would be a great storyline, too, because it would show that his hatred of Okada is so high. Like, even if he's not involved in the end, he just he screws him over anyway, just to manipulate things. And I think that would fit his character. But that's about the only way I see Tanahashi winning. I would say his odds are very low, a 10% chance maybe. Expect him to have a great tournament, though. I'm still on his side. I know a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not, because like I said, it's very possible. But that's just my opinion on Tanahashi this year. His opponent, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, the man who's just coming off a historic title reign when it comes to the IWGP heavyweight title. Last year, I really liked his tournament, and before that tournament last year, I was really down on Okada. I thought he was super overrated, and especially in G1s, if you look at his past years, he slept, walked through the tournament for many times. Not been a difference maker or someone that I really have been impressed with. But last year, I thought he carried his block, which was the lesser of the two blocks. He was my highest rated person in his block. 4 four-star matches versus Kojima, Evil, Suzuki, and Big Mike Elgin. So good stuff there. The Suzuki match was absolutely phenomenal, in my opinion. One of the best of the tournament. And he's someone at number 4 overall, 4.04 rating in PTR. Tanahashi was number 5 overall last year, because I'm going back and forth sometimes, 3.98. So top 5 all had very strong years, but Okada, 4.04, great rating in PTR. And I think he'll have another good year this year. The block, again, is a bit weaker, but he's got good opponents. He's got Evil, Elgin, Tanahashi, guys he's historically had great matches with. Suzuki as well has been up and down. Fale, he's got some good stuff out of Fale in the past, so I don't think it'll be 4 stars or anything, but he'll have some good ratings for that, I expect. And the Yoshihashi match is interesting to me because Ride the Lightning implodes, so to speak. Last year's match they had wasn't a blowout match, but I think they have a chance to top it this year. And Okada, I expect to do good. He, to me, is clearly the favorite for this block. And he's someone that I think if you're making bets, he would be the clear betting favorite. You look at the main events, he has nearly every show in A block, he's in the main event. It's really surprising that they go so far, because they're telling you, basically, this guy's going to win. All of his matches, the only match that he does not main event is the second night with Tanahashi and Switchblade Jay White. And that match he faces on that night is Fale. So that shows you about where Fale ranks. He's the only one that doesn't get the main event with Okada. And it's probably that's probably about as fair as you could say. But A block, overall, I think definitely the lesser block. Even the biggest match is something we've seen a ton of times. A lot of the matches we've seen are repeats, but they do have the two new guys to really kind of add something to that, kind of add some fresh matches, because the A block needed it. When you look at it, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this block overall in terms of a talent perspective. It's kind of mismatched, but I think it's, despite being a kind of motley crew of people, I think they could have a solid tournament. It's definitely the lesser of the two blocks, but I think they're going to work hard, especially guys like Tanahashi who have pride, guys like Yoshihashi who always work hard, and guys like Evil and White who are fighting for a huge push. So those are guys I would think that would stand out. Okada, coming off the title reign, will probably want to prove himself as well. But that's A block. Let's get on to B block real quick. I talked a lot about A block there. B block, again, everybody in this block was here last year, so let's get to it. Let's start at the very bottom, and I mean the bottom, with Toru Yano. 9 matches at 2 stars or below, all of them. He had Okada, Omega, Kojima, Evil, Sonata, Elgin, and Juice's worst matches in my rankings last year. 0.65. Terrible, terrible tournament overall. But that is on a pure wrestling scale, and what Yano does is not pure wrestling. I know that. Everybody knows it. It's been said 100 times. My problem is he's not entertaining or funny to me. He does the, if you look at our shows last year, we did shows about every show of the G1, and maybe we will this year. That's up and down. But every time we talked about Yano, it was basically like I said the same thing 9 times last year, because all of his matches are the same. All the flaws are the same. It's the same kind of match over and over. I've seen 100,000 times. It's not entertaining to me. And I think he could be a valuable asset to G1 if they tweaked his gimmick, so to speak. because I love that there's a comedy guy in here. If it were up to me, if I were booking G1, there'd be a comedy guy. There'd be a shoot style guy that's more like MMA. There'd be a luchador. There'd be somebody from Ring of Honor. There'd be an outsider that comes in that nobody knows. You know, somebody that only goes for flash pins that wants to end the matches quickly. So I'd have a lot of variety. Here we don't really have that, but Yano is the, you know, the outlier, so to speak. And he'll give guys a night off when they wrestle because they're going to be killing each other in a lot of these matches. It's fair to say that. But me personally, I don't like his matches at all. And I don't anticipate this year will go any different than last year. If you love him, God bless you. But to me, it's just you're watching the same thing over and over. And I don't know why that's great. Points-wise, he's someone that gets underrated. Despite being in the bottom match of the B block, I really anticipate him getting some big wins over some people. It could be over anybody. I could see Naito losing to him. I could see Juice losing to him. I don't think Omega will. But I could see Ibushi losing to him, Zach. You know, any of these guys could lose to Yano, really. So he's someone that I expect to get a lot higher points than the other guys. I could definitely see him getting 8. It seems like he gets 8 every year. 2 questionable wins to make the fans happy because he has a lot of popularity in Japan. And a big unexpected win that happens, you know, in 2 minutes or whatever, or a minute. And it's just kind of dumb stuff. Silly fun with Yano. His opponent, Tama Tonga, I was so surprised that he made the cut this year. He was the surprise pick to me. I thought for sure Finlay should have been in because he's earned it this year. Tonga has been a tag wrestler, and I love his tag team. I really like what he does with his brother, but we've seen what he brings to the table in G1 situations. We've seen what he brings to the table as a singles act. He doesn't bring that much to the table. And he's a good dude. Like, in real life, he's a really cool guy. I don't want to be critical of him too much, but we've seen what he could do, and unless he has a complete change, where he steps up and elevates himself in ways nobody could see, they really should have had Finlay in the spot, in my opinion. He's the one. Everybody talked about Yoshihashi, but to me, that match with Ibushi, and look at all of these great matches that Yoshihashi's had, Tonga has never had a great match. His best match last year was against Kenny Omega, you know, and that was a lot of storyline stuff. They'll do it again. Tonga seems to get a push in the Bullet Club. I think they'll have a good match again this year, and I think that's the match he'll be the most motivated to have. But overall, I have a 2.84, 16th overall in PTR last year. Not a great run at all. And I expect he might be even lower because Suzuki's here this year. And I don't know. I don't know about Tonga. I hope for the best. But until then, let's just see how it goes. Next match, we have Sonata in the fourth match. It seemed like he was the hot guy 2 years ago. I remember, you know, we talk about Striga, his predictions have been questionable, to say the least. And I remember he was so high on Sonata, he had a ton of high hopes for him in 2016. Got that huge win over Tanahashi, everybody was talking. And it seems like he just lost something after that. And he was never able to quite get it back. And I'm not a fan of his at all, I'll tell you right now. In terms of proficiency, he's so smooth and so clean as a wrestler that it's almost like, you know, it's almost like it's too clean to me. It doesn't look realistic, almost, how he wrestles. And he has no charisma at all. Like, he, to me, legit could be the most boring wrestler on this roster. I was not impressed by his run earlier in the year. He did get a push. The Okada match was completely unmemorable. I guarantee you no one will remember that at the end of the year. The New Japan Cup run wasn't memorable to me either. He didn't have any standout matches there. He's got a great look. He's got a lot of fan base, particularly female fans. You can tell in the crowds. He's someone that gets a big reaction. And just look on Twitter in the West. A lot of women really love him and his look, and I don't blame him. You know, he's got a unique look, great style to him. Got the Naito bump in the Ingobernables, so I expect him. Last year I had him 13th overall, which is a good run. He had three, just to be fair, I may not be a fan of him, but I graded him fairly, 3.4. That's a very good tournament, solid tournament to have in PTR. Nobody's best match, no great matches in my opinion. Nobody's worst match though. And he's somewhat, again, much like Yoshihashi, I think he'll Yeah, I think he's a lesser version of Yoshihashi in the ring, because Sonata has a much better, much more major league look about him, and I think that's why people forgive him a little bit, and he's pushed a lot better in New Japan. So I think that's the difference between those guys, but I think they serve a similar role in their blocks. And Sonata, again, will have another good tournament. I'll probably be hard on him, but when it's all said and done, he'll have some matches that I really like, that I think a lot of people will like him too. I don't think he has any shot to win or anything like that. There's just no purpose behind it. I can see him beating Naito. There's definitely a chance he could. That's the one match that's gotten built up really more than anything else in this G1 so far. They've already teased it. They think it's a big match. It's got a main event in one of the last shows. I could see him being alive until that show. Naito beating him and then Ishii getting a win just because it doesn't matter at the end. Sonata, though, not going to win the block and not going to win the tournament. Tomohiro Ishii, my number one ranked competitor last year when it came to star ratings and PTR, 4.17. My clubhouse leader before Hiromu's great Best of the Super Juniors run this year, 7 4-star matches out of 9. That's an insane ratio to have when you look at it, you know. And if they had put 2 capable opponents besides Makabe and Fale in, he probably would have had all 9 4-star matches, let's just be honest. I thought he had Zack Sabre Jr.'s best match. And my favorite matches of his was the Tanahashi match. So good stuff there. Ishii, spectacular tournament. Again, strong contender, especially in this block. This is an even better block than A block last year, so he's got a shot to really do something great when it comes to that. I think he's a strong contender for the number one overall pick in the tournament when it comes to in-ring work. Match-wise, he's not going to win a lot. We know it. We know how they do. It sucks. It really sucks to me. He still owed his well-deserved G1 title match that he beat Okada with 2 years ago. He never got it. I will argue about that injustice until the end of time. He deserves the world title shot. I don't care what anybody says. I'm hopeful that he could beat Omega with an upset win again, like they had in the New Japan Cup last year. And he gets a title shot sooner or later, because Ishii deserves it. He rocks. Loved it. Loved that dude. He's probably going to get 6 points. So let's move on. Third match. This is where it gets interesting. Juice Robinson. I thought he was a breakout star for a lot of people last tournament. Not necessarily just in match rankings or, you know, star ratings or anything like that. I had him at 3.67 in PTR, number 9 overall. And he had Tonga's best match as well. Or excuse me, not Tonga. I thought he had Omega's best match, arguably, as well as the Minoru Suzuki's. My favorite matches of his as well. So I thought he had a great run when it comes to that. Great matches, 2 4-star matches, 3.67 overall. Lots of charisma, got over with the fans. And if you actually look at his 2018, he has arguably been one of the most consistent New Japan wrestlers. Look at his team with Finlay and all the great work they've done. I would love to see him get a tag title shot eventually, that team. I wish Finlay was in so they could have a match together. Juice, I think, is going to be similar to Elgin and Evil in Block A cornerstone guy that has good matches with everybody, but doesn't have the best matches, so to speak, because this block is so loaded, it's going to be hard to really stand out, you know. But Juice, his overall score, I think, is going to depend whether he wins the U.S. title or not, which me and Striga both agreed on the last show that it was very possible. But I think it's possible he's around the last day, but I think there's a 0% chance he wins this block or the tournament overall. I just don't think it's the right time for him. He's doing good. He's fine where he's at. No need to get crazy with him. I think he's going to have a good tournament. He's going to score some points. All 6 of the top guys, I think this will be a more even block than A block. I think the first 2 or 3 guys are going to dominate A block. And in B block, there's going to be a few guys, 5, 6, 7 different guys that could all be in the mix by the end of the day, end of the night. But Juice, though, I don't think he's going to win. His opponent on the last night is Hiroki Goto, the never title holder. As I mentioned with Elgin, spectacular match, one of the best of the year before the Tai Chi interference in his match. Everybody should watch the Goto versus Elgin match from the Kizuna Road. Last year, I had Goto number 8 overall, 3.76, 3 4-star matches. Nagata, Makabe's best matches. I love the Nagata match. I thought that was just a spectacular tournament match. One of my favorite matches. And that was my favorite match of Goto's as well. So everybody should definitely give that a watch if you haven't seen it or you forgot about it, because I know a lot of these matches blended together in G1. So everybody check those out. Goto in the tournament, in this block, this is a dream block for him. This is the match made in heaven when you look at it. He's got all his favorites. Ishii had a great match with Juice earlier in the year. Ibushi's a very interesting matchup. Zack has showed some great matches with him in the past, too, that got cut off by interferences for whatever reason. He, to me, is one of Kenny Omega's best opponents. Naito, they've had some okay matches, but some stinkers, too. And last year, I thought that was one of Goto's... That, to me, was Goto's worst match, was against Naito. So, it'll be interesting to see how they play that off this year, because I think they really got to go out and do a little better. And the problem with Goto's run last year was that it started off really, really strong, but petered off at the end to where he was having some lackluster matches at the end, and that's why I think he got a little underrated. And because people just naturally underrate Goto for whatever reason, because of bad booking, if we're being honest. Winning the tournament, if my prediction of Shibata coming back, which I still think that's a prediction I have, and I'll get to that in a second, but Goto, he's a very, very, very small chance to win the tournament. Slightly bigger to win the block, because of what I mentioned before about not killing a big match in the finals. And he's someone that is always underrated. He could, and because of the way that B block is shaped out, a draw at the end of the tournament could send somebody else in. So that would be perfect for him, and we've seen it before. Next match, person there. But I think Goto, small chance to win the block. Very likely he doesn't. Next match, Zack Sabre Jr., one of my favorites from last year. Number 7 in PTR, 3 4-star matches. I thought he had some really good stuff overall when it comes to that. The Ishii match was my favorite of his last year. Everybody check that out. Zack, I expect again to have a phenomenal tournament. He was my number 2 wrestler of the year last year. So that shows you what... or was he number 3? I think he might have been my number 3 when I made the WDKW 100. He was my number 3 wrestler. So good stuff with Zack. I think, again, he's one of the best in the world overall, not just in New Japan. And I expect him to have one of the top 5 or 10 tournaments. And I think he's in a great block. He's got great opponents. He's going to have some great matches. I don't think that's a hot take at all. In terms of winning the tournament, a lot of people have really been bullish on him. But the fact is, he has not a single main event on this entire tour. And I think that tells you all that you need to know. Also of note, he's someone that has already won the New Japan Cup and already gotten a title shot this year. So him winning wouldn't make any sense. There's no need for him to be in the finals. On top of that, possibly the most damning, is he's beat Naito in the New Japan Cup. He's beat him one-on-one this year. Naito is getting his win back, people. That's all there is to it. And that's going to knock him out. It's very possible he's alive on the last day. There is no chance in hell he wins this block or this tournament, in my opinion. I hate to be negative, but I just don't see it happening. Zack, spectacular performer. One of my favorites. Has overachieved in New Japan in a lot of ways. And I expect him to have a good run, but not going to win this block. His opponent, however, on the last night, Tetsuya Naito, he's got a strong case to win this tournament. He's got a strong case to win this block, and he's got a strong case to win the tournament. Last year, I thought he had 4 4-star matches or better, including the best matches of Ibushi and Omega, which I thought were 2 of the best in the tournament. When it comes to him, his problem with me, even though I ranked him 6th overall at 3.82, he had those 2 huge matches to book in the tournament. He got a lot of bonuses and things like that, but really, besides those 2 matches, the Tanahashi match and the Ishii match, he really sleptwalked through a lot of his matches and underwhelmed. He had a lot of people's worst matches. I hated that Fale match a lot. That was one of the worst matches. That might have been the worst overall match of the tournament, I think. Naito, I think, could have some stinkers here and really not show out. But in this block, you better show up or you're going to get passed by a lot of people when it comes to this block. So if he takes a night or 2 off, he's already at least 7th in the tournament when it comes to that. And I think anyway, if you just look at talent, Him and Omega are neck and neck, but I put him firmly behind Zach, Ibushi, Ishii, Goto. Really those four. And I would say Juice. I know that may be controversial, but I think Juice has had a better year than Naito so far. Just my opinion. Naito hasn't had a strong 2018. If you look at the Dome match he had, let's face it. I love that match. I thought it was a spectacular match, and I thought it was mostly because of him. I thought he was the leader of that match and really made it what it was. A lot of people didn't like it. Let's just be real about it. I got a lot of comments saying it was their worst match together. I don't believe that at all. I think a lot of that has to do with the booking, that a lot of people wanted him to win. It was the wrong decision. I still think that. But overall, it was what it was. I loved the match. A lot of people didn't like it. I really liked the match with Yoshihashi because of Yoshihashi, not necessarily because of what Naito brought to the table. I didn't even like the Taichi matches, but all I know is everyone after that match they had in New Japan, all I saw was people talking about Taichi. And if you're in a match with Taichi and everyone's talking about Taichi, you didn't have a good match. There's just no way, there's just no nice way to say it. You know, it just is what it is. So with Naito, I expect him to have a great tournament when it comes to this block. I think he's got a shot to win the block and a shot to win the tournament as well. So it would make all the sense in the world for him to win. It would make all the sense in the world for him to get the title shot at the Dome. He's still arguably, they've done a little damage to him recently this year, but he's still arguably the most popular person on the roster. So him winning wouldn't make sense. I don't foresee that happening. That's not my prediction. But I'll tell you my prediction overall officially. I think he'll be alive on the last day, 100% though. And he's definitely beating Zach. I think that's my pick on that. Getting to the main event, let's talk about him. The IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Kenny Omega. Last year, I had a controversial run for him. Only 2 4-star matches. I did think he also had Tonga's best match. Really like the match versus Naito, there's no doubt about it. I'm 3.61, 10th overall, slightly above Evil and slightly behind Juice. Omega, I love the match he had with Okada in June. I thought it was a great match, legit great match. One of the best of the year, even top 10 of the year right now. So many people have said it's one of the greatest of all time. I think in terms of story and emotion, if you buy into that story, it's no surprise that you loved it even more than I did and thought it was an amazing match. And when you look at it, it's one of the most famous matches in New Japan history. I think it's going to live on and have a real legacy about it. And I think that's very, very rare. Just compared to even the Tanahashi and Okada matches, that was the hot thing 3 years ago, but nobody really talks about them that much anymore. It's just kind of another match. Right now, Okada Omega is the main rivalry. I've heard somebody even say that Okada and Tanahashi won't sell out Budokan Hall, but this will. So that tells you all you need to know about that legacy, so to speak, right now. We'll see how it goes overall. Obviously, it will have a legacy because of the timing of it, but I think right now Okada and Omega and Omega and Ibushi are the hot feuds right now. In-ring-wise, he's still going to do things that I don't like. There are flaws with him as a wrestler, you know? It is what it is. Like I've mentioned him a million times. He's too one-dimensional. I think he does the same stuff over and over too much. I think he's too much of a moment and spot-based worker. For example, the idea of him collapsing on the Rainmaker, or Ishii doing the reverse Rana, or Ishii biting the ropes. I think those were all his ideas. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Because he has a great mind when it comes to singular moments that you remember. He's one of the best in the business at that. In terms of putting an entire match together, I'm just not feeling him as much as a lot of people are. And I hate his promos. I think he's absolutely atrocious on the mic, to be honest. I think he's very, very, a very poor wrestling promo. He's really cool when he just talks as himself, you know, in an interview or whatever with Dave Meltzer or anything like that. But when he gets into the gimmick too much, I can't stand him. And I know a lot of people feel the same way after his recent offensive promo a lot of people got up in arms about. Of course, that was ridiculous as it was, but it was a bad promo. That's all there was to it. It sucked as a promo. There's no questioning that. And I just don't think he's very good. In-ring-wise, he is talented, and I think he'll have some big matches, and there will be at least one match that's up there as one of the best in the tournament. I think he's a dark horse candidate to win this thing, too. I just want to mention that. My idea I floated out on Twitter was basically, and I think this will for sure happen either way, Naito will beat Omega. That's like a lock prediction on my part to set up a title match between the two. Whatever happens, I think Naito and will beat Omega. But what if that leads to the last night where Naito needs a win of somehow, but Omega is too far ahead, so he gets the win? Or maybe Naito's just not even there somehow. Basically, they're all tied, and Naito... Excuse me. I'm totally losing the plot on my own storyline that I said on Twitter perfectly. I have no idea why I'm doing that. I apologize. But basically, it would come down to Ibushi and Omega, and either Ibushi would win, or they would draw, which I think is more likely. They would have the time limit draw. Omega would advance due to a tiebreaker, and... How it would happen is Omega would win the tournament and then nominate Ibushi. And that works on multiple levels because I think that's the only way we can get them for the... I'll talk about Ibushi in a second and I'll get to that. But I think I'll explain that a little bit more in a second. I don't think that's going to happen. That's not my official prediction. But I think that is a scenario that's a dark horse pick that a lot of people aren't talking about. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere. But I think Omega winning and nominating Ibushi as his challenger... I really think that that's a possibility. I'll tell you this much. I think there's a better chance Ibushi wins the block, but there's a better chance Omega wins the tournament. Because if Ibushi wins the block, he won't win the tournament. But if Omega wins the block, he can win the tournament, if that makes sense, you know? Although the odds are greater for the other way around. So let's bring it to Ibushi, the last guy of the G1 to talk about. He was my number two. He was tied for second last year in PTR at 4.05, tied with Yuji Nagata. Four 4-star matches. Great matches with Naito and Tanahashi in particular, which I thought were just spectacular matches. Great match versus Ishii. I think his best match, if I had to nominate, was his match against Naito, the very first main event of the tour. Spectacular match that you should go out and watch. But Ibushi, here's my problem with him and why I don't think he's going to win this tournament. He won't win this tournament without the contract. That's all there is to it. Like, if he doesn't sign the contract, he will not win this tournament. I know Strig is bullish on him. I know last episode he tried to sell on him signing the contract, but there's a reason he hasn't signed it yet. And that's him in his head. I'm sure they want him. I don't think it's that Gato doesn't want him. But he doesn't want to be locked down. But so it would be hard for him to win. I think him winning the tournament and then challenging at the Dome is almost impossible. I just think there's no chance. I would be absolutely stunned if that happened. Unless it came out that he signed the contract of some sort. Or Omega. And you know, they want the match. Omega and Ibushi want that match at the Dome against each other. Omega's going to try and politic for it. He has the power. It's possible with this new president and Gato there, maybe he could make something happen that we've never seen before. But I just can't go against what I know and what I've always known in Japanese pro wrestling. Ibushi is not winning this tournament. I would pretty much put it as a lock. Him winning the block, though, is definitely a possibility. When you look at it, he makes perfect sense as a challenger for whoever will win block A to put someone over. He's a big win without being the biggest because they won't push him only to a certain extent with the contract, as I mentioned. So, good stuff for Ibushi. We saw it in the New Japan Cup. He has not made the finals, and I think that's because of the contract, as I mentioned. So, let's bring it up, bring it all around. A block and B block. Throwing out some scenarios, Switchblade, Tanahashi, Naito, Omega, even Goto. Those guys all have scenarios. But my official pick, I think Ibushi gets the win over Omega, and that'll set up a future match between them. I think Okada ends up winning the A block. I think it's obvious he'll win. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't win. And Okada wins the G1 climax, the 28th version. Think he gets it again. Sets up the title shot with Omega, with Naito maybe. the main events really signaled to me that he's going to win. And just, he would have been my prediction anyway, just like we said last episode. I mentioned him as the favorite, along with Naito. And I think how it's played out, for sure, we'll see him getting the win in the block and in the tournament overall. Speaking of the title, I just have to say, I know everybody wants this reign to go on a long time with Omega, but if you look at the Cow Palace, how that's played out, and how title reigns generally exist for Gedo, besides this Okada huge reign and the huge Tanahashi reign, if you look at the last 5 years, besides Okada, we've seen short range for AJ, short reigns for AJ, someone who's had only one or two defenses, drops the title to Tanahashi right before the Dome. Tanahashi wins at the Dome and then drops to AJ right afterwards. And Naito had his 1 month reign where he had one defense. So a short title reign is not out of the question here. I don't think that at all. And if I had to make a prediction, if I had to put a gun to my head, I could easily see Naito versus Okada main eventing the Dome again this year. But with Naito as the champion, I could see that. And it's possible, too, my other prediction that nobody's really talking about, because everyone mentions that 2020 falls on a weekend, and they think Okada and Naito is the match to do it. But with what Omega said about Naito, them feeling that Naito would cool off if he did win the title at the Dome, I think that could tell you something. And look at how they book him. A lot of people messaged me about saying how, oh, Naito only has two main events, so so-and-so has more at all this. But look at how they booked him this year. They have not made him into any kind of ace or top star with how they've quote-unquote protected him or lack thereof. So to me, maybe that's not the match they want to save for 2020. What if it's Okada and Naito at the Dome this year for the title and 2020, and during that time, you could see Omega and Ibushi team up and have a real tag team run, win the Global Tag League, get the tag titles at the Dome, run around for a few months, 6 to 8 to 10 months with the tag titles, then blow off and have their big main event match in 2020 at main event, when maybe Ibushi does have a contract, when the match is built a little bit better. Because right now, if they just had a match like that, it would just kind of be like, you know, it hasn't been fully built in terms of any kind of rivalry. It's just, they're kind of resting on their laurels in terms of the storyline to get there. So, the Omega Ibushi match, that's my prediction. That's my hot take right there. Ibushi Omega, tag team champions at the end of the Dome. Okada Naito is the main event of the Tokyo Dome. That's my prediction right now. My one caveat, and this is my surprise prediction that I will go with again, Shibata is not off the table. Like, when it comes to this, him being in the G1, that's such a silly statement to make that signals his career is over for good. Because look at Honma. He's even come back, and he's not in the G1 for health reasons. Even when, honestly, a lot of negative reaction was in this tournament due to how stale this lineup is. They could have used Honma to have a storyline, but they didn't because of the injury. Shibata coming back? Why would he be in G1 after the injury? That makes no sense to me. But him coming out on the last night and announcing a match at the Tokyo Dome, that's something to look out for. That's my sneaky prediction there. I don't know if it'll be for the title like I thought. It's hard to believe that it's somehow going to be Shibata and Okada, especially now that he lost. That really ruined all my plans. But I still think Shibata coming back, nominating his challenger for the Dome, very possible, something I anticipate myself. I wouldn't say I anticipate it, but it's something for everybody to look out for. And if it happens, you know who's going to brag about it. And you know you heard it here first, people. You heard it from the Sky Blue Hot-Blooded Young Man. So, that's about it when it comes to the G1. Okada Ibushi. That's my finals prediction. If I had an MVP prediction, last year was Ishii. Last year was actually Nagata was my MVP. And Ishii was the best worker. There's no real big stories to go in this G1, really. Really, Jay has one of the best ones. I could see it working out to where, it's just tough, you know. It's real tough. But I think you could look at Ibushi here. I think he might have the standout tournament, as a lot of people thought he did last year. So good stuff there. Done with the G1 now. Got to move on real quick because I spent a lot of time talking about it. And just quickly, I want to talk about some quick matches, very briefly, actually. I had a lot to say about some of these, but Striga's not here. We haven't been able to get to a lot of other promotions lately that I've wanted to. He hasn't been able to watch as much as he wanted. But I wanted to shout out some matches. And between the Cow Palace and the start of the G1, these are a few matches I think you should take the time to check out. If you want to see some new stuff, or you can listen to the matches I listed as each man's best match last year, if you want to catch up to that too, and see if you agree, disagree, whatever. But check out some matches from NOAH. Kenno versus Atsushi Kotage from the May show, where Sugera faced Marufuji for the title. Both of those are good matches. I preferred Kenno versus Kotage, but my favorite match was actually Sugera versus Kotage a month prior in April. Also in NOAH, the Aggression, Masakita Miya and Katsuhiko Nakajima. These guys are must-watch every time. Very strong contenders right now for Tag Team of the Year. Nakajima's reinvented himself and deserves a ton of credit. Really, the company right now, the trick to watching NOAH, you skip the undercards. They don't have the depth. They're just not good enough. There's no way around it. They don't have the depth. The main events, they're very well worth watching. And then maybe you could dip into guys that move up in or out. Like, you know, some guys could have some good matches. I don't want to get into the WWE NOAH deal right now because Striga isn't here, like I said. We'll talk about it later. I just want to say that I did predict that, though. The very night that NOAH got sold to Uchida, we had a breaking news podcast, and I told you about Uchida trying to do this similar thing with All Japan when he was there. So I said that, and it's come to fruition. That's all I'll say on that one. Check out Shigehiro Irie's title defenses in DDT. Just watched it, Kazusada Higuchi, just one night before I'm recording this. June 24th, great match. I even liked the Keisuke Ishii defense better. So everybody watch those. Irie had two great title matches to kick off his title reign. Who knows what the DDT fans will think, because anybody who wrestles great at DDT can be criticized and not be good enough. But Irie, two great title matches to start off. Fortune Dream, Kobashi's yearly show happened. It was a bona fide hoot. I liked all the matches, really, but I especially enjoyed the main event between Ayato Yoshida and Kaito Kiyomiya versus Takuya Nomura and Toru Sugiura. Four great indie talents that showed how smart Kobashi is, because we like the same people. I singled out Sugiura, in fact, as a great prospect in the past when we did our draft and whenever Freedoms comes up. He's someone. To me, Kiyomiya is already there. Nomura probably wouldn't leave Big Japan, but to me, Sugiura and Yoshida, there's no reason they shouldn't be in NOAH right now. Someone like Go Asakawa from K-Dojo. These guys are all great indie talents and great prospects. The future of ProRes to me. My favorite match on the show, though, was Io Shirai, Meiko Satomura, and my 2017 Women's Wrestler of the Year, Hiroyo Matsumoto. They were great against each other. It was a lot of fun, with Meiko and Hiroyo even setting up a future match. Leads us to stardom. Io Shirai versus Momo Watanabe for the white belt, and Toni Storm versus Kagetsu for the red belt. I preferred Io and Momo Watanabe's match from February, slightly above the match from May, but both were great, and you should watch all those matches. Io, it's sad. We may not get to this Joshi thing, so I'll just go ahead and talk a little bit about it now. Io's going to WWE. Meiko's going to be in the Mae Young Classic, along with Io. I think it's great for Io, finally getting to do... She's done all she can do at stardom. But I think it's a shame, because this is the first year that she's really lived up to the hype, to me personally, as one of the best elite women's wrestlers in Joshi, because I've always thought she was good, don't get me wrong, but never to that top number one tier. But this year, you look at her year, she's had a huge, huge run of great matches. I love what she brings to the table. I think she is going to succeed in WWE. She has a style that's unique, and someone that I think will really wow the crowd if she gets to do all she wants to do. So, sucks for stardom. I hate to see it, because they've had a strong year storyline-wise. Some ups and downs, but a good year for the most part. Very happy that Tony lost the red belt. I think Kagetsu will be a much better champion, because she will be there to defend the title and will actually care about stardom and the title. I also noted in my notes I wanted to make a few suggestions for Mae Young Classic before I move on to the next thing. Check out the Yamashita people. They're not sisters, but Miyu and Rina Yamashita, one from TJP, one from Osaka Women's Pro Wrestling. Great wrestlers. Hana Kimura, Hikaru Shida, Maya Yuki, and Maya, as well as Hikaru a little bit. Shida can actually speak English too, but if you see Maya and you see her speak English, a lot of Americans will be stunned. A lot of American wrestling fans especially will be stunned that a non-American can speak English. So that's what I want to see. Great character workers as well, not just great wrestlers. All Japan, check out the trios match from the show. Their June 12th show, which featured Kento Miyahara versus Dillon James. Possibly James Rydeen / Dillon James' best match of his career. Great match. Tag title match, the All-Asia titles between Jun Akiyama and Yuji Nagata versus Naoya Nomura and Yuya Oyagi. Oyagi, he really showed out. He's come back from injury, so great stuff there. I really thought the young guy should have won the tag titles. I got asked about it. And how it played out just made me want him to win it even better, because to me, them losing now and winning it a month later, that's not good storytelling, in my opinion. It's just redundant matches, just to stretch out a feud. So that, to me, is not building to something bigger. It's just stretching out things. Also, my favorite match on that show is the trios between the Evolution team of Suwama, Shuji Ishikawa, and Hikaru Sato versus the Sweepers team of Jake Lee, Ryoji Sai, and Koji Iwamoto. I apologize for a second. There were some weird technical difficulties. I had to repeat myself. But unlike the match with Nomura and Yuma Oyagi, I thought this was a great match with the right result. Really put over the Sweepers team. Jake Lee got to be a huge star for this team. They're pushing him right. Loved what Sato brought to the table. I think he's someone that definitely should move up to heavyweight. Evolution's a great team all around, whatever combination they throw at you. So great stuff going on in All Japan. If I had to really, you could watch all of those, or if you just want to watch the best match from each promotion that I just said, I would say the trios match from All Japan 6/12. What was the best match of them all? I'd say Io versus Momo from the Joshi for the white belt. Keisuke Ishii versus Shigehiro Irie, and Atsushi Kotage versus Takashi Sugera. So you can watch all the matches, or you can just watch those four or five that I just listed there. So, oh, and watch the main event from Fortune Dream as well. So that's five matches right there. Moving on now to the last thing on the show. Let's check out the Cow Palace, because there's a lot to talk about, and I think the first thing we have to talk about is, like, let's just talk about it. I really had a sense of pause. Not just that I paused there just to slow things down, just to keep you on your toes. But I had a sense of pause when it came to how this show would draw, when All In sold out in just 30 minutes. That, to me, made it seem like everybody made their choice and that this show was in trouble, this G1 special in San Francisco. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now as we speak, as I record, but all I know for sure is that when Omega won the title and they announced Kenny versus Cody, Striga was really sure that this match would draw now that they did, and I thought so too. I had pause, but all along I thought once Kenny would win the title, tickets would sell more. It didn't happen that way. The needle did not get moved. Maybe it will later on, just because of the timing, but we know this match did not light the world on fire. And that really has to open the door again to what I mentioned last week, or last week, last episode. The Dome, having all this go to Omega, was great and provided some great moments and matches. But at the end of the day, you kind of did damage to Naito, and this is Omega's zone. And so far, this G1 special and the CEO show did not do great. And maybe they will. By the time I release this, maybe they'll have already done a lot better. But when this match was announced, it did not move the needle. And I think that calls into question, maybe that wasn't the right move. If maybe just New Japan's reached its peak of paying fans, the ones that will pay for it right away. In that case, I think that was a big mistake. And to sacrifice Naito for that, so to speak. I don't think they've sacrificed him completely, but I think they have done damage, and it would be a lot better. I do not buy that explanation that he would have cooled off if he'd won at all. I think he would be a lot better off if they had booked him stronger. Ultimately, though, I don't think you could judge anybody as a drawing card on this match, but I just thought there were a lot of mistakes made in terms of how they built it up. They really need to have the card out when the tickets go on sale, in my opinion. and they need to do a better job and keep up with it. If they're serious about this U.S. expansion, which they should be, they've had nothing but success up to this point. And I think it also mentions the main event, Kenny and Cody in particular, maybe not just Kenny. Maybe this match, I think you have to really look at that Ring of Honor match going back a few months, and I wish Striga was here so bad so we could talk about it. But that match, if that match had never happened, I think this would have been a lot hotter, and they had kind of followed up on the feud more because they've really focused more on Kenny as a single star in Japan more than anything else. But they have said slight subtle teases. But this match has already happened. If that match had had a huge payoff, something that got everybody talking, something that was great, something that everybody wanted to see what happened next, this really proves all my criticisms completely correct all those months ago. That we, on the previous episode, on our WrestleMania weekend wrap-up, we got into this huge argument, if you didn't listen to that show. I was negative on the match, and he was positive, and it hasn't worked out. All In, they didn't even run this match for All In. Like, they saved it for this show, and it hasn't moved the needle. There's just no way about it. I think without that match, if it had come across better, if it had been better in context, this show would have gotten a big boost when they announced it. Overall, though, if they do 8,000 tickets, I would say the show's successful. Less than 8,000. They didn't do it. They didn't run this big building to do better, like, or do the same, slightly better, and hopefully definitely not worse. But they didn't do it to do around the same number as they did at the 6,000-seat arena. They wanted to sell this show out. And everybody wants to sell it out, but they wanted to do much better. So if they do 8,000, I think you got to cut them some slack, especially with All In. I think that really is the main difference more than anything else I said. But all of those are reasons that there are a lot of mistakes made that could have been avoided with some better foresight, in my opinion. But let's get to the show. Not a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the main matches. They got a 10-man tag with Yoshihashi, Gato, and Roppongi 3K versus the Bullet Club team of Chase Owens, Yujiro, Tangaroa, Tamatanga, and their dad, King Haku. Just a match to get Haku on the show. Should be fun. Hope Yoshihashi can get a few fun spots against the people in there. Minoru Suzuki, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano. Yano will get a big reaction from the American crowd, I think. And I love the team of Suzuki and Zack. I wish they'd get a tag title shot soon. But you never know. It should be a fun match. Really look forward to the interactions between Zack and Ishii. I think they'll be phenomenal. Tanahashi and Kushida versus Marty Scurll and Hangman Page. They'll probably obviously be used to set up Hangman and Tanahashi. Not interested in this match at all because I don't think Tanahashi will bring his 100%, but they'll just run through the hits probably. Jeff Cobb getting a never title shot against Hiroki Goto. This to me is a sleeper match. As I mentioned a couple of times before, Goto versus Elgin was a phenomenal, phenomenal match that everyone should watch before this stupid interference of Tai Chi. And that was the funny thing. Everyone wanted Tai Chi to be in the G1, but he can't even do a run-in properly. So I was very happy he will not be stinking up any kind of blocks in G1. But Goto Cobb, sleeper match when it comes to the tournament. Sleeper match when it comes to the G1 special in San Francisco at the Cow Palace. I expect it to be great. I think Goto will win, but I expect it to be a phenomenal match. Tag titles match, the Young Bucks versus Evil and Sonata. Rematch from Dominion. Had a really solid match, strong stuff overall. Should be another good match in the Bucks' hometown. Bucks, no reason for them to drop the titles now. They're going to get the win. Chaos, Will Okada versus Will Ospreay. Will Okada, what the hell am I talking about right there? That's not a real person. Kazuchika Okada, Will Ospreay facing Tetsuya Naito and Bushi. Should be a fun match and should build up. I think that's a potential tease to either the Wrestle Kingdom match or the finals. So I think that should tell you something right there. A good tease there that New Japan's putting together. Long-term booking. Hiromu Takahashi versus Dragon Lee. As predicted by myself on the previous show, Striga mentioned that he thought Desperado would be a good choice here. They had a match. It was a bit disappointing on the Kizuna Road show. So I was happy they saved Dragon Lee for here. I thought it was more likely anyway. And the better match overall. So Dragon Lee, great opponent. They're going to have another crazy, awesome match, probably. Expect Hiromu to win.
one of the best wrestlers in the company right now, and I expect they will tear this house down. Semi main event, the U.S. title match, Jay White defending versus Juice Robinson. As we mentioned, we talked about it last time, Juice, the title is in doubt, and I think Juice could very well take this thing home. But Jay White could use the title as well to really help him out. Switchblade could use the title. It really helps him and Okada's storyline right now. So I could see them having Switchblade hold this off for another month or two before he drops it in September, so to speak, just to continue the storyline of him being above Okada. So I think I've changed my mind. My prediction is going to be Switchblade for this. I may be wrong, but that's just my prediction. Next match, main event, Kenny Omega, Cody. We've been through it a ton of times before. No reason for Cody to win the title. Kenny will get an easy win here. And it's a match that hopefully the fans can buy into. They'll build up on being the Elite. And they can have a much better match to redeem themselves from the misfire in Ring of Honor earlier this year. And I think that's about it for me. I'm finished with the show. I've covered everything. Done G1. Some random matches that you can all check out. Let me know what you think of those. Cow Palace preview. So, big show. Sorry that Striga wasn't here. We miss him. Hopefully he's having a good time wherever he's at, because I'm sure he'll listen to this either when he gets back or maybe he'll have some, you know, some free time to listen to me. So hopefully you enjoyed the show, man, and hopefully you, the listener, enjoyed the show as well. If you like the show, not just this one, I'd recommend going back to some of our past episodes that me and Striga did together, the full Eastern Lariat, not the Lariat, as we had different theme music, different intro. How'd you like the gratuitous German, though, Striga? You have to point that out. You have to give me props for that on the theme song, at least. So you have to say that. If you like the show, listen to some of our interviews we did. Jimmy Uta of MLW, we interviewed, talking about his run in Michinoku Pro. Jay Bradley from NOAH, we had a great conversation with that boy. Really good stuff. Love talking to both of those guys. And Yuta especially, I can really relate to. He's a lot like me in a lot of ways. And Bradley had some great insight into the NOAH system. So great interviews, great regular shows. We did some special shows on WrestleMania. And it's just we're on a roll right now. Hopefully this one continues it. And I can't wait to get back to you. We'll have some more announcements about our G1 coverage next time when Striga comes back. He's got a lot on his plate right now. If you do like the show, if you're a fan of what you heard, you're a fan of us on Twitter, you're a fan of Cage Match, that's Striga's website, cagematch.net, one of the best resources in pro wrestling, in my opinion, although I may be slightly biased. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, especially Stitcher, Downcast, iHeartRadio, wherever podcasts are heard. But even more important than the 5-star ratings, which we love, we'll shout you out if you leave a review too, so make sure to point that out. But more importantly, I love the interactions on Twitter. Check Striga out at STRIGGA on Twitter. Me, Dylan, at Dylan Zero Sky, DYLAN, the word zero, ZERO, Sky, SKY. So check that out. We'll talk to you about anything. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the tournament, some of the matches I said that we hadn't got to. Then the Cow Palace, whatever your predictions are. We've gotten asked about it a lot, about the G1. But I'm excited about every company in wrestling, man, not just New Japan. I love wrestling. I love Japanese wrestling. Hopefully some good things are happening with you guys. Like I said, it's a crossroads in life almost with me. So hopefully some good things are there. And we have some good things to talk about next time when Striga gets back. Until then, we'll see you next time. Sayonara.